Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself, discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Life in Full Expression. I'm your host, Beth Wolf, and today we're going to do some pretty cool exploring, elevating, and expanding in the social and relationship dimension. So as if you haven't seen it already, this episode is really, we get to learn about some surprising secrets of the world's most connected people and how to create some relationships that last. And as I was prepping for this show, wow, did I learn a lot. I learned things that I'm doing well now in a really exciting relationship that I have now. And I learned some things in my previous relationships that I did not do well. So hopefully you can, you know, hop on this train with me and learn as well. We're going to go through some studies, but let's start off with our number one leading question today in this first segment is why relationships matter in the first place. You know, what's the big deal with them? And so I'm going to go into, maybe you've heard of this Harvard study on adult development. It's actually been going on for quite some time. Since 1938, the scientists began tracking the health of 268 Harvard sophomores, hoping that a longitudinal study would yield clues about how to lead healthy and happy lives. And so this Harvard study is actually still going on 83 years later and counting. And of the original subjects, only about 19 are still living and are now in their 90s. And over the years, the researchers have expanded the study to 1,300 of the original subjects' offsprings, and now they're in their 50s and 60s. And then in the 1970s, they added even more. 456 Boston inner city residents were added. But really, what they began to find out is that what are the ways that we age well, and what are the guideposts to a happier life from this landmark Harvard study? So they found four factors, and the first four probably won't surprise you. They didn't me, as I come from a health and medical background. The number one factor that's going to predict a healthy aging is your physical activity. And we talked a lot about that last week in the physical dimension. Another one is the absence of alcohol. Another one would be absence of smoking, as well as now we're finding the absence of vaping, and maintaining a healthy weight. So those are the first four factors that they found. The next two are involving two key factors involving emotional skills and relationships. So what's going to help you age well? Having a mature mechanism of coping with life's ups and downs, because that's part of the human experience. And then having a stable marriage, a stable partnership, a stable relationship were the other two factors. So there's six of them right here, and we're going to dive more into those next two. I want to reference a study by Dr. John Gottman and his colleagues at the University of Washington. And he found some key relationship, keys to relationships that were actually hidden in plain sight. And he set up what was called a love lab, and he invited 60 married couples to spend a weekend, and you know, they had this apartment set up and to live as normally as they could possibly do while they were being observed. And the goal was of this study was discover clues about what type of interactions led to stronger relationships and what type of interactions perhaps damage the relationship. So him and his colleagues came up with a hypothesis. Testing couples in a committed, loving relationships, that they would openly share their personal thoughts and feelings and experiences with their partners, that in essence, the self-disclosure would really be the hallmark of the relationship. Well, they found that this hypothesis was basically a bust, and they found little evidence of this. But it didn't mean that the experiment was a bust. It was actually an amazing success, and goes back to the title, that there was actually keys right there in plain sight. And what they discovered is that it was actually the small interactions of the couples engaging in on a daily basis, moment by moment throughout the day. And so Dr. Gottman and his colleagues came up with a way to basically summarize these interactions, these emotional connections that are verbal and nonverbal. And he called them bids. And he also came up with three ways of responding to these bids. And one of the first ways is that you and I, in possibly a committed, loving relationship, that we could actually turn toward a bid, meaning that if someone's giving a nonverbal or verbal request to us, that we could react positively, or we could turn away from the bid and no response at all. Basically, another way that we just ignore that person. And then finally, the other bid was we could turn against the bid and actually respond negatively. So how we respond to the bids of others, in essence, can make or break your relationship with them. So I've mentioned, if you've listened to episodes before, that I completed a 25-year marriage, and I know for a fact that I committed all three of these bids at one time or another in that relationship, for sure. I definitely could have used that tool then, but I have them now in this amazing relationship that I have now, and I'm definitely having more of an awareness. But I want to kind of give you a little bit of an example that what these bids look like, because that's all nice terminology, but here's an example that is out of one of my courses online about how to create lasting relationships. So, for example, imagine a husband and wife or partners sitting in a room together, and the wife gives this little verbal clue that she's cold. Now, the husband can lean in and say, "Oh, hey, I was just noticing the same thing, and would you like me to get you a blanket?" Or he gets up and he moves to the couch and sits next to her and pulls her close to get her warm. So that would be a positive bidding. Or the husband could turn away from the bidding and just completely ignore and go on maybe looking at his iPhone or something like that. And then the third bidding, where this one's not so nice, it's kind of negative, but he would say, "You know what, you're always complaining that it's cold. What's wrong with you?" So there's three examples of what it would look like in those different kinds of bidding. And so in summary of that, turning toward the bid is much healthier for the relationship. And Gottman found that couples who regularly respond to each other's bids, actually the positive way, had the strongest and most loving relationship. So that's what he observed when he made that love lab and his colleagues were observing all those couples for hours and hours. So he also found that those that turned away or were negative pretty much were relationships that are on the rocks and were possibly heading toward a breakup. And I certainly experienced that in my marriage, that I experienced basically, you know, a lot of us turned negative and or we just didn't respond at all. So it really comes back to one of the things that one of my mentors has taught me is awareness. Notice what you're noticing. So one of the things that you can do is take and notice how the significant people in your life, express themselves and respond to each other. So even as you go out today and even in the days ahead, if you become an observer, that are you the one doing the bidding? Meaning, are you the one that's doing the verbal or nonverbal clues to the person that you're in relationship with? Or are you the one that's actually noticing them and receiving them? Or you can actually be an observer watching other couples. And this also goes beyond being in a committed, loving relationship. What if you're actually in a working relationship or a friendship? You can use these as well. So they're not just in a partnership with that. So going back to aging well, when we gathered together, they found out that everything we knew about the participants at the age 50. So as we gather all this information about our health and well-being at the age of 50, it wasn't so much that we're finding that it's our cholesterol that's going to predict how well we're going to grow old. It was how satisfied that we are of our relationships at the age of 50. So people who were the most satisfied in their relationships at age 50 is a great predictor of how healthy you will be even into your 80s and 90s. So here I am in my 58th year, and I can say that that really does make a difference. So people's satisfaction with relationships at 50 was a better predictor than really their latest physical health and cholesterol levels, which I think it goes back to also talking about Dr. Lipnin's book and findings about the biology of belief. It really has a lot to do with our environment around us. So they also found that loneliness kills. So it is powerful. It's almost as powerful as damaging as smoking and alcoholism. So you guys, we need relationships. We really do. They have a physical impact, and they also have a mental impact on us. So there was a TED Talk done that good relationships don't just protect our bodies, but they actually protect our brains. And so researchers have found those with strong social support experience less mental deterioration as they age. So with that, there's a lot of positive benefits to having great relationships in your life. So if you would love to make sure that you age well, stay tuned. And when we come back after this short break, I'm going to go into our next question about what is the heart healthiness of a relationship. And we're going to dive into what it takes to have those healthy relationships. So stay tuned. I'm Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose,
every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul
and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Beth Wolf, with Life in Full Expression. And today we're exploring, elevating, and expanding in the dimension of social and relationships. And the question that we're going to look at in this particular segment is, what is the heart of healthy relationships? And I have a great quote here to start us off, that there is much wisdom in listening as there is in speaking. And that goes for all relationships, not just romantic ones. And that's by Daniel Kim, an American actor and producer. And in this online course that I have, it starts out with a question. And I actually asked somebody this, that wouldn't it be wonderful if you could develop a good relationship, whether a friendship or a love relationship with a significant other, once and then just set it in autopilot so you never have to tend to it again. Wouldn't that be great? Well, of course it would, but seriously, you guys, that's not reality. It just isn't. So relationships can't go on autopilot. They have some elements that we can have on a regular basis and practice, which ultimately comes into the word of nurturing. So one of the aspects of having a healthy relationship is we get to have a growth mindset. And so some components of a growth mindset is letting go of the idea that you know best. Have you guys ever felt that? I definitely, when I was younger, definitely had that attitude. So I didn't possess a growth mindset in that area. But now, wow. It's very, very helpful. Another part of a growth mindset is being willing to try new things and risk making mistakes. Now, that is super cool. Not only can it bring some great exploring, elevating, and expanding components in a relationship, but it helps it from not getting stagnant. And then also embracing mistakes. Whether it's your mistake or your partner's mistake, when you make them as a learning opportunity rather than reasons to be embarrassed or give up. Have you guys experienced that? Sometimes when you make a mistake or your partner makes a mistake, that you might have the temptation to be embarrassed, which is all about our ego, or we're just going to give up, which maybe we're playing some kind of story. So another part of having healthy relationships is we actually need to build some relationship skills. I think it would be so cool if we had a class like this in school. And one of my intentions that I have begun to build is Platinum Life University. And it is my intention that this is one of the courses that's going to be on Platinum Life University. It actually is, not going to be, but to help people build skillful relationships that can not only make our day-to-day relationships better, but we can make things better all the way around our globe. So trying things, if they don't work, we keep doing them. Let's not do that. And if they don't, then let's put on the growth mindset. So how many times have you experienced in a relationship where you're doing the same thing over and over again and you're getting the same result? It's time to let that go and try some new things. Now, there's some great skills written in a book by Dr. John Gottman, and it's called The Relationship Cure. And he has a 5-step guide to strengthen your relationship, your closest one, your family, your friendships. And I'm just going to list some of these steps here. And if you want to go into a deeper dive, you can either purchase that book or you can do some online coursework. So step one is look at your bids for connection and six bid busters and how to avoid them. So it's pretty cool. Dr. Gottman not only introduces you to the bid, and if you're just joining me in this segment, if you go back and listen to the first segment, I talk about those three different kinds of bids. Step two is discover your brain's emotional command system. This is you getting to know more about yourself. Step three is examine your emotional heritage. I love that he uses the word heritage versus like your family baggage. We grew up in an environment and we were taught things by our parents and they were taught things by their grandparents and so on and so on. So there might be some emotional heritage that may not be serving you. So it's a good thing to look at that. Step four, sharpen your emotional communication skills. And then step five, find shared meaning. It's so cool to be able to have a commonality with that. So another part of having healthy relationships, the majority of the time, you find that people communicate really giving a hint that, and along with nonverbal cues, they don't necessarily come right out straight and give what they necessarily want, or they're not clear about it, or maybe they're not even clear about it. And so knowing that a lot of people will just give you kind of a hint of what they are trying to communicate, there's a couple things that we can do in our close relationships. And number one skill that you can have is when you get that bid from someone is be curious. So do everything you can to basically learn more about the important people in your lives. So if someone gives out a bid, an example would be, well, tell me more about that. What does that look like? Or how are you feeling with that? And just give the person space to have time to think about it, have time to feel it, and then express it to you. Another part of it is to listen carefully. And I actually like to put the word in there to be an active listener. So when people are actually bidding something, there might be some hidden meaning beneath it in their intention. And as being an active listener, and you're in a committed, loving relationship, you want to find out what's underneath that. And then really paying attention to the bidding. Are you even aware that that's going on in your relationship? You know, has your wife said maybe a little something and you have been ignoring it, or you had a negative response to it, or you might have a positive response to it. So what's really going on there? And then especially important before you are, this is really about before you're launching into maybe a complaint or an argument with your partner, is I love this part. Just take a pause, take three deep breaths, and reflect on the question that's being asked or exactly what they're explaining. Rather than being in such a hurry to actually respond, just take a pause before you go into that argument and that complaint. And then another part of healthy relationships at the heart of them is the power in a pattern. Remember that Dr. Gottman, he was observing people for hours and hours and hours and found that it was the day-to-day, really daily actions. It wasn't these grandiose efforts by them. So you want to pay attention to times a person makes a bid toward you, but you either don't feel like churning toward that bid at the moment, or some circumstance doesn't allow you to do so. And it goes into a little bit that, what if you and your partner don't have the same values? That definitely could take a little bit of a different circumstance and situation going on there. Or you're with a coworker and they have different values, and so you and I might choose to ignore the bid because there is a difference and a diversity there. But yet, that's really not going to solve it by us ignoring it. So you want to pay attention to how you ultimately respond. If possible, find a way to decline the other person's bid while churning toward their intent, where you're really looking for the commonality between the two of you, and come up with an alternative that's acceptable for both of you. So this is really about you and that person finding common ground, but it first takes us to have the awareness that go deeper, be curious, take time, and look for the intent. One of my mentors has always shared to me that people are either, you know, they're either calling out for love or they're expressing love. And so we can always have ourselves in some kind of wave of grace. So, you know, one of the things that they gave an example here is, say that your son comes home from school and you're the dad, and the son goes, "Hey, Dad, can I borrow the car keys?" And the dad initially gets upset. And the son's like, "I don't even know why he's getting upset." Well, under the intention of the dad getting upset, it's because he really wants to spend more time with his son, but his son wants the car keys so he can go hang out with his friends. But all the son sees is his dad getting upset. And instead, the dad could respond by leaning into that and say, "Hey, son, I just want to spend more time with you. Maybe when you get done with your friends, let's find a time that we could go do something together." That's a great example of a healthy relationship between a son and a dad that would just want to spend time together. So wrapping up this part of it, and just giving you a summary of what we just talked about, is, are you being curious and listening to people's bids? Are they being overt, where they're pretty clear, or is there a hidden meaning that is actually going to require a little bit of you, you know, asking more questions? So first, there are often hidden meanings beneath the surface language of people's bids, and that can come from their emotional heritage. They might be afraid to say something, or they just have a pattern and they're not aware that they even have that pattern. So you want to be able to discuss how you must get into the habit of looking beneath the surface to identify some of the meanings that might be coming from that person. And then second, the importance of examining our own bids, you know, what's coming from us, verbal and nonverbal. And we often are just as, you know, guilty as the other person of using indirect language as the other person. So even us having that awareness of asking our partner, "Was that clear, or could I provide you with more information with that?" And then finally, those challenging situations when we maybe don't necessarily care, don't have the same values, or we can't accept the other person's bid as stated, but we still want to reply positively. So the goal really is become fluent in the language of bids. Challenging is really one aspect of really healthy relationships, is to become fluent in that. And that comes really with us being aware of what we're saying. It becomes an aware of what other people are saying. And are we being curious? Are we leaning in to find that hidden intent? So with that, that brings us to the end of this segment. I hope those have helped you a little bit to dive in a little bit more of what it looks like for a healthy relationship. And when we come back after this short break, I'm going to give you some clues on how to build a positive relationship and the keys that we talked about of those successful people that are really connected. So take a short break. I'll be right back with you. This is Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression, and I'll see you back in a few minutes.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness, be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life.
Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's D-E-N-E-E.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey guys, welcome back. Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression. Today we're elevating and exploring and expanding in the dimension of social and relationships. And I'm coming back with, we've gone over some aspects on how to build a healthy relationship and what bidding is. And really, we're going to look at some key characteristics of what it takes to, well, really people that have mastered really great relationships. And there's a great quote by Daniel Pink, an American author, and he says, empathy is about standing in someone else's shoes, feeling with his or her heart, seeing with his or her eyes. It makes the world a better place. So guess what the number one characteristic of possessed by people who are masters at building relationships is? Yeah, you guys are right. It's about being empathetic. And the other three are being vulnerable, being affectionate, and being committed. So I'd like to dive into these a little bit deeper for you in this segment here of really what do all of these particular characteristics have in common first? Well, they are all outward focused, and they focus more on the needs of the other person than on our own needs. And they're also about communicating regularly and authentically with others. So let's dive into this first key a little bit about empathy. And I'm sure not a word that you haven't heard of before, but just in essence, it's about you and I understanding and feeling what the other person is experiencing and putting ourselves in their position. And sometimes this may not always be easy, especially if you're not necessarily aligned with their values. I want to bring that up because sometimes we're not. Or you might be feeling a bit disappointed about the situation. So let's just put it all out there on the table. And basically, in a nutshell, we need to, more than anything, we need to listen and we need to pay attention. And acknowledge the person's perspective and their feelings, even if you don't necessarily agree with them, just by allowing yourself to acknowledge and help that person know and feel that they are being understood. There's a book written by David Rico that says, How to Be an Adult in Relationships. I so would have loved to have had this book decades ago. Another great aspect for us to have in our schools. And he talks about the five A's that apply to all loving relationships and to cultivate the habit of empathy. And so what does it look like for you and I to cultivate this? And remember, we get to nurture our relationships, whether they are personal or professional. And the number one habit to cultivate this empathy is attention to the present moment, observing and listening and noticing all the feelings at play in our relationships. And number two habit to cultivate the empathy is acceptance of ourselves and others just as we are. I don't know about you, but I have struggled in this area of just to accept some of the aspects of my own self. And so sometimes when we're not willing to accept what and who we are in the moment, then we're not necessarily open to share it with our partner. So number three habit is appreciation of all our gifts and our limits and our longings, and really just being in this human endeavor together. Number four is affection, shown through holding and touching in respectful ways. And then number five, allowing life and love to be just as they are, with all their ecstasy and aches and pains, without trying to take control. So I love that last one of just the art of allowing. So those are the five habits that really could help you build the skill set of empathy. And the next one up, a key characteristic, is vulnerability. Open and share with somebody that's important to you, with a loved one. You show it's a two-way street, and this gives you and your loved one the opportunity to grow more. Guess what? Gives you more of the opportunity to grow in empathy. And I just did that with my partner just in the last 2 weeks. We're navigating some newness in our relationship, and we're both on the edge of our own becoming. And as she shared some of her vulnerability, I shared some of mine, and it really built the trust between the two of us. And we definitely shared that empathy with each other. She's like, oh, you're feeling that and I'm feeling this. And it was shared genuinely and authentically. And one of the things that it built in that moment was trust and respect. Not only were we trusting ourselves and respecting ourselves and accepting ourselves in those moments, but by doing that, it also released me comparing myself to somebody else and her comparing herself to somebody else. And it built that vulnerability, really helped take us to elevating our relationship in a whole new way. And one of the things that you can think of is just imagine three circles, a small one, a medium, and large. And one of the ways that you can do in relationships is this 15% rule of, we can always be moving into a zone of learning. We don't want to always be in a zone of comfort and familiarity. And then, I don't know if you guys have done this like I have, but I've done a boo-boo where I've overshared. I've just shared too much, too soon, too fast. And that would be the circle and the zone of danger. And if you're paying attention, you can tell that maybe you've shared too much. So remember that about 15% rule can really help you in growing in vulnerability. So the next key characteristic is being affectionate. It's the little things that matter, not the grand gestures. There was actually Carl Pillmeyer, he interviewed 700 Americans and what led them to healthy and long-lasting relationships. And it wasn't so much about giving gifts in a tangible, you know, the tangibles, but it was more about, you know, we could give gifts and compliments and just paying attention to something, you know, amazing or nice, or in our daily lives that a coworker or a partner or spouse has done. And then also in that interview, the adults talked about, it wasn't just about, in the intimacy, that it wasn't just about sex, wasn't enough all the time. It was really at the heart of this. The affection was really based on a friendship. Friendship was at the heart, and that it must be nurtured on ongoing displays of affection. So, and our last key is committed, that to investing into a relationship and making it better over time, that both people in this lasting long relationship, that they're committed. They are so committed that they're willing to actually challenge each other to grow, and they're going to do it with empathy and acknowledgement. So in summary, really, the first relationship masters show a high level of empathy, always doing their best to see every situation from the other person's point of view. That's where we're being very aware in that area. And then second, they aren't afraid to be vulnerable with the other person. And third characteristic of a great relationship builders is that they are regularly showing affection, especially in small and unexpected ways. I like to call that of surprising and delighting. And then finally, they commit to their relationship through good times and bad and for the long haul. So really, your goal should be to take your relationship through really to the next level by working on these four characteristics systematically until they actually become habits. They're just part of that all the time. So there you are on what key characteristics are to really build positive relationships. So after this next break, we're going to come back and I'm going to end this episode with, well, how do we handle conflict and repair the damage? Because, you know, that's going to happen in our relationships. So stay tuned. I'll be right back after this short message with more of Life in Full Expression with Beth Wolf.
I'm Mark Fechner, and at the Business Mind Show, we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month on transformationtalkradio.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Beth Wolf, with Life in Full Expression. And today we're in the dimension of social and relationships, of elevating and exploring and expanding your life in full expression. And we have been talking about some cool stuff. So if you haven't been with me and you're just tuning in, I encourage you to come back and listen to the rest of it. This last segment here, we're going to look at how do you handle conflict and repairing damage. And I want to start off with this quote that I'm very, very happy for my hardships and misfortunes. They build character and make you a better person. Even if I think it's something you have to carry with you, it's definitely something that makes you more empathetic towards other people, makes you understand people and relationships so much better. And that is by a Swedish musician. And I want to remind us about this incredible Japanese art that you might have heard of before, about how they fix broken pottery. I've known of this golden repair, and it's really when the pottery breaks, the approach gets its name from the substance used to glue the pieces back together. And this substance is made by mixing lacquer with powdered gold, silver, or platinum to form the glue, which creates shimmering lines that highlight where the breaks were. And the result is this. In being repaired, the broken object becomes arguably even more beautiful than before. I know you're imagining seeing that pottery vase with that sparkles of gold or platinum and silver right now. And so the philosophy underlining this practice is that damaged objects have a history that should be celebrated rather than covered up. And this is true for relationships as well. By picking up the pieces after a break and repairing them with care, key component, the resulting relationships can become stronger and more beautiful than ever. So with having that image in mind, ideas that we want to look at is what happens when things aren't going so well. Well, first of all, we want to take them seriously. And this comes from a book on how to love. And we want really to allow the person to share how they feel. And they may be completely unaware, possibly, that of the suffering they may be causing their partner or their spouse. And so if sharing with them doesn't work, then telling them that you're committed, going back to what we talked about earlier, committed to the relationship and trying your best to be loving. So that's the commonality right there, is that we're both committed to this relationship, even if one might be more unaware than the other. And then we want to ask the other person to help, basically, you solve the situation. And getting both of you on the same side of the problem, so to speak, frames the situation as one in which your partners are working toward a solution. Probably not new information and a little bit tougher in the moment when it might be a little bit heated and the pieces are broken. But again, the hint here and the key element is that both of you are committed to the relationship. The second thing is get the hidden stuff out in the open. And that takes for us to listen with intent to understand and not the intent to respond. That is active listening. That if someone actually asked you to repeat what the person just said, you could do it if you're actively listening. If you're not actively listening, you probably couldn't even tell another person what they said. So notice that about yourself. And then don't assume you know is an old saying. To assume makes an ass out of you and me. Yeah, don't want to be doing the assumptions. And the goal here is to raise your empathetic listening skills so you can be calm when conflict does arise. And third, arrive at a mutually satisfactory solution. I love where it brings up this Greek philosophy of ethos, pathos, and logos from The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And I watched my daughters in junior high, they had this really cool HID course, and they used this all the time in and with the content. And they were just in junior high, and it was so cool. But they used this ethos is really about first being understood. Your personal credibility and your character, and that you're committed to the relationship. So can you imagine being in junior high and learning this kind of ethos, oh my gosh, it made it incredibly dynamic. So it's going to make it dynamic in a personal relationship as well that you're committed to. And then secondly is the pathos, where it's the empathetic side. You're listening wholeheartedly. You're understanding where they're coming from. And then comes the logos. Logos is really about the logic and the possible solutions. And they need to go in that order, you guys. It is first the ethos, and then the pathos, and then the logos. You don't want to get them out of order, or it doesn't work as well. And then finally, do the necessary, basically, repair work. Go back to the image of the vase. You just didn't leave the pieces broken on the table. You got the lacquer, you got the powder of the gold and the platinum, you mixed it together and you put it back together. So putting a plan in place is a good thing, and sometimes it might start by just a heartfelt apology to each other. Of just saying, you know, please, you know, forgive me for being unaware, or I didn't know I was hurting you, or I didn't know I was not listening well. And then affirming both value of the relationship, and again, that you're committed to making the plan you've come up with and work. And then possibly it might really serve you to set up some accountability to check in with each other. So just in summary, step one involves making the other person aware that the situation is causing you some pain and getting them to take it seriously. You also want to let them know that you're committed to the relationship and that you want to work together to solve the issue. And then second is to ask the other person what's going on and get everything out in the open. This is where you bring your empathetic listening skills to bear. And once you've heard everything the other person has to say. And then third, if for you to clearly explain your side of the situation, and then for the two of you to make a plan and come up and resolve it, all in this loving container that you're committed to the relationship. And then fourth step, the two of you put a plan into action, and with periodically accountability check-ins to keep things on the track. In the longer term, one or both of you might also look into some mindset changes. Do you have some of those growth mindsets going on a regular basis, and such as a mindful practice? Or you might keep similar conflict situations from occurring in the future. So those are all four steps that you can use to really help you when things, I almost call them like sweaty conversations, start happening. But notice we really have given ourselves this calm container that is full of respect and honor, and it is with intention that you're listening. You've got that ethos, pathos, and logos going on. And I love this quote by Franklin D. Roosevelt. He says that if civilization is to survive, we must cultivate the science of human relationships, the ability of all peoples, of all kinds, to live together in the same world at peace. And the father of emotional intelligence movement, Daniel Goleman, he said that if you can't have empathy and have effective relationships, then no matter how smart you are not going to get very far. And that is so true. Relationships really matter in this world. And again, I just refer back to that quote by President Roosevelt, that is at the core of this world being at peace, is our human relationships. So I want to leave you with this. Again, that powerful questions bring powerful answers. And allow yourself to awaken to your greatness and express your soul essence in and for the world to explore, elevate, and expand in love. This is Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression today. Thank you for joining me. I hope these tips on creating lasting relationships have served you. And if you're interested in going on a deeper dive in this, I have a short 5-module online course that you can look into at BethWolf.com. That's BethWolfe.com. And until next time, I'll see you next Monday on Life in Full Expression with Beth Wolf. Until then, take care, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit BethWolfe.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.